This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good morning. Closing prices for the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 376 and a quarter, up 6. March, 381 and a half, up 4.5. May, 387 and a quarter, up 4.5. January soybeans, 906, up 8.5. March, 908, up 7.75. May, 914, up 7.75. December wheat, 471 and a quarter, up 6.5. March, 484 and a half, up 5.75. May, 491 and a quarter, up 5.25. December oats, 260 and a half, down 4.5. March, 241, up 1.25. December soybean meal, 285.10, down $2. January, 284.90, down 2.50. March, 286.90, down 2.50. December soybean oil, 31.80, up 1.21. January, 32.08, up 1.21. March, 32.26, up 1.16. It's time now for the cash grain report.
This is Friday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher late Friday afternoon. Technical trading gave corn and soybeans a boost on the Board of Trade today. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn 5 to 6 cents higher at 353 to 368. Soybeans are up mostly 8 to 9 cents at 871 to 902. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn 5 to 6 cents stronger at 361 to 385. Soybean bids are 8 to 9 cents stronger at 888 to 916. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported shell corn mostly 5 cents higher at 368 to 392. Soybeans are up 8 to 11 cents at 896 to 914. Wheat was 5 to 6 cents stronger at 380 to 435. Illinois soybean processor cash bids were 9 cents higher at 918 to 921. Basis levels were unchanged at 12 to 15 over the January. High-protein soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $278.90 to $299.90 per ton. That's $2.50 per ton higher, with basis levels unchanged at a minus 6 to a plus 15 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash bids were 5 cents higher at $3.82 to $4. Basis levels were unchanged at option to 18 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators placed their producer corn market 1 to 6 cents higher at 375 to 383. Basis levels were mixed at minus 7 to a plus 1 over the March. Soybeans closed 9 cents stronger at 913 to 924. Basis levels were unchanged at 7 to 18 over the January. New crop wheat prices were 5 cents higher at 423 to 456. Basis levels were unchanged at a minus 75 to minus 42 the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn market 5 cents higher at 394 to 395. These elevators raised their soybean bids 5 to 7 cents with bids at 936 to 937. Soft wheat was up mostly 6 cents at 410 to 460. Milo was 5 to 11 cents higher at 371 to 372. That concludes Friday's country grain market summary.
Closing prices for the Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 124.02, down 167. February, 129.60, up 15. April, 130.37, up 70. January feeder cattle, 159.75, unchanged. March, 157.20, down 60. April, 159.95, up 105. December lean hogs, 57.97, down 37. February, 59.37, up 55. April, 63.60, up 45. It's time now for the Cash Livestock Report.
This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday, the 4th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 27 cents lower in the range of $47 to $53, with a weighted average carcass price of $51.92. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $2 lower, with weak to moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 18 to 23, 4 to 5 weights 20 to 25, 5 to 6 weights 22 to 26, and 6 weights and up 25 to 28. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $28 to $34. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 8,149 head. And now for the recap from the Walnut Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 519 head compared to 2 weeks ago. Slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to a dollar lower. Slaughter Holstein steers sold a full dollar lower. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 118 to 124.25. Choice slaughter Holstein steers 109.25 to 111, and choice slaughter heifers 118.50 to 124.25. On to the slaughter cows, premiums were bringing 104 to 110. Breakers were 60 to 69 with some higher dressing from 73 to 79. Boners were 58 to 67, higher dressing 68 to 69. Leans were 41 to 47.50, with some higher dressing bringing 52.50 to 54. Slaughter bulls under 1,500 pounds brought $91 to $100, and bulls 1,500 pounds and up brought 82 to 89 with some higher dressing at 94. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 120 to 124 and on a dress basis 190 to 192. Heifers on a live basis traded at 120 to 124 and on a dress basis 189 to 192. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 326 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $73.73, and that was 35 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses, $202.60, that was $1.89 lower, with select carcasses at $191.49, that was $1.53 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 109,000. That compared to 98,000 last week and 105,000 a year ago. On a year-to-date basis, cattle slaughter is running behind 5.4%. Hog slaughter was estimated at 433,000. That compared to 433,000 last week and 426,000 a year ago. On a year-to-date basis, hog slaughter is running ahead 7.9%. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Deere & Company has informed approximately 220 employees at John Deere Seating & Cylinder in Moline that they will be placed on indefinite layoff starting on February 15th. The layoffs reflect last week's forecast by Deere that agricultural machinery sales will decrease in the fiscal year 2016. The company said the actions are taken to align the size of the manufacturing workforce at individual factories with market demand for products made at each specific location. In the past, manufacturing employees at John Deere Seating & Cylinder have experienced seasonal layoffs in the spring and returned to work in the fall. These layoffs, however, do not include a specific callback date for the employees. Some weeds have become resistant to the herbicides farmers use to control them. Others have lengthened their germination period, emerging later in the season, avoiding early spring control methods. University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager has a four-step plan farmers can use to maintain a competitive edge in corn or soybeans. It starts by planting into a weed-free seedbed.
Really a good four-step plan in weed control in either corn or soybean, regardless of the varieties that are selected, would be number one, of course, plant into a weed-free seedbed. And it's easy to achieve a weed-free seedbed by either pre-plant tillage, burn-down herbicides, or a combination of those two. given the challenges of weather, given the challenges of resistant weed populations, very advisable not to plant any seed into any existing weed populations or any green vegetation without adequate control ahead of time. Number two, of course, would be to select and apply the appropriate residual herbicide. In corn or soybean, either one, select a herbicide that has the broad spectrum of control, gives you very good control of your most problematic species. Pay very close attention to label guidelines for the application rates based on your timing of application and the soil characteristics. It's always advisable to apply the label recommended rate for the spectrum of control that you're contending with. The third step would be to make very timely post-emergence applications. Base those not necessarily just on a calendar number of days after planting, but rather base those post decisions on adequate scouting. So return to the fields several days, begin maybe about 2 weeks after crop emergence, scout the fields, determine the weed size, the stage of crop growth stage and development stage, and make the decision on when to make that very timely application of the post herbicide. And then the fourth step would be simply return to the field maybe 7 to 10 days after that initial post application. Determine how well did it work? Do you see another germination event of weed species that warrant a second application? Or do you see any crop response that is of particular concern? If we fail to go back and look at how well the product performed or the level of crop injury that we see soon after that application, we could have some very significant challenges later in the growing season.
Once again, that was University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show this morning. I'm Katie Bowles.